22 days, one of our sisters and one of our brothers have been enfolded into the bosom of our blessed Savior.
You mean they got chilled?
Bluffield nodded.
How about those missing fingers?
He pointed at the nearest of the young women, who tried to hide her left hand behind her back.
It is our way.
Ryan's eyes flashed with a sudden flaring anger, something that he generally managed to keep buried and safe, but which occasionally would slide out and reveal itself.
Your way, Elder?
They sacrificed their fingers to me, to us, as a way of showing their love, loyalty, and readiness.
Why?
It was ever so.
Almost like a separate living organism, Ryan's right hand was creeping around toward the small of his back, where the long cleaver was sheathed. Kate saw the movement and touched him on the arm, warning him. He looked at her, and for a moment the girl shuddered at the cold blankness she saw in his face. Then he took in a deep breath and nodded to her.
Right.
Bluffield was moving away, his flock opening like the Red Sea to let him through. He glued on a smile that showed his broken front teeth and never got within a mile of his cold eyes.
Just as long as we understand each other, brother.
I'm not your brother. And you better understand me.
Ryan was bushed from the heavy labor, his shoulders and back feeling like they were filled with hot sand. He had taken the top bunk, leaving Kate to quickly fall asleep on the bed beneath him, the two thin blankets tucked around her. Before dropping into a dreamless darkness, Ryan squinted across the hut at the Elder and his followers. There was a low wattage bulb burning in the middle of the stained ceiling, and it gave enough light for him to see that they were having what looked like a prayer meeting. Ryan was worried about Elder Bluffield. He wasn't the usual blowhard religious crazy, like so many others running their own splinter groups throughout the Deathlands. This one had a backbone, and Ryan had pulled him down in front of his loyal followers. Perhaps it might be possible to take the old men out during the shift tomorrow. There weren't many better places than the deep sulfur mines to arrange a terminal accident. Ryan awoke in the middle of the night. Pressure on his bladder sent him into the cramped alcove that served as toilet facilities. The iron door was half closed. He pushed it behind him to bring a little privacy. Outside, a hailstorm was blowing up. Ryan figured that it had probably been the sound of the blizzard that had jerked him from sleep. He finished urinating and buttoned up his pants, checking that the blaster and the panga were still secure. It wasn't until he turned around to go back to the sleeping quarters that he realized the door had swung shut. He pulled at it, but it didn't move at all. Through it, muffled and faint, he heard Kate. Someone had gagged the young woman, or knocked her unconscious, or chilled her. The only illumination in the small room came through a tiny slit window high up, allowing the weakest of filtered light from outside. Ryan drew the Sig Sauer and looked quickly around him, seeing what options there were.
Not many.
The door was iron, hanging on rusting hinges with a simple bar lock. Someone on the other side must have slipped it, intending to keep him in there while they did what they wanted to Kate.
Don't worry. Stay quiet, brother, and it'll be over quickly. And then she'll have paid the Elder the due price of respect.
The voice came through the door. Ryan didn't waste breath on replying. The red killing mist had swept down over him, filling his brain, and he fought against it, looking carefully at the door as he recovered something of his combat composure. The room was so small that he could lean against the wall opposite the closed door. He'd taken the usual precaution of sleeping fully clothed, including the steel-tipped boots. Ryan braced himself against the wall, powering both feet into a devastating kick at the door. The hinges crumbled into shards of orange rust, and the door crashed open. It gave way so easily that Ryan slipped and fell, nearly dropping the blaster into the gaping shithole. By the time he recovered, the Elder's flock had a few moments to try to recover their composure. But as he stepped into the sleeping quarters, Ryan realized that they could have had most of eternity and still not managed to recover. They stood in a frozen tableau, with Kate at their center. She was spread-eagled on one of the top bunks, tied by wrists and ankles. Elder Bluffield stood by her left hand, holding a small open razor, its blade winking in the glow of the overhead lamp. He was gripping the young woman's left hand, forcing her to open her fingers. Ryan waved the gaping muzzle of the 9mm automatic at them, seeing that nobody else seemed to be armed at all.
This has a silencer, so nobody beyond these four walls will hear a sound. But you'll all still be dying. Starting with you, Elder. Cut her free with that blade, and be real careful. If I see any blood, I start blowing holes in stomachs.
If the guards come, they'll chill us all.
Make the wrong move and I'll fucking chill you all.
Let this happen, brother, and we can all live and work as one.
Bluffield nodded like a child's puppet. Ryan shook his head in disbelief.
You are about the sickest triple stoop I ever did see. Just use that knife slow and cut the girl free.
Bluffield looked around at his followers.
Will nobody rid me of this troublesome man? None of you?
Living beats dying, Elder. Do it now.
Only the reality of having to conceal corpses or do a run from the mines checked Ryan's finger on the trigger of the powerful blaster. To put a couple of rounds through the bearded old man's belly would have been a rich and genuine pleasure. The razor moved toward Kate's neck, past the bald gag of cotton waste that forced her jaws apart, onto the cords around her wrists. The sharp steel breathed through the thin ropes and cut her free.
And her ankles.
The young woman sat up, her fingers frantically unknotting the gag. Her eyes were wide with shock, and there was a dark bruise on her right cheek.
You know what the...
I know.
Bluffield finished cutting her free and stood there, still holding the gleaming blade, not sure what to do with it.
Off the bed and over here. You all right?
Kate simply nodded and moved across the narrow room to join him. The Elder struggled to retain a tattered vestige of authority and dignity, and failed.
Now what?
Ryan stepped closer to him, the muzzle of the automatic drilling in toward the center of the elegant white beard. The old man's slitted eyes became even narrower, and a thread of spittle dangled from his parted lips.
Put the razor down on the blanket. Then place your hands together, in front, like you're praying. That's good.
What are you going to do?
Ryan beckoned to the youngest of the women, who stood fearfully watching.
Here.
Elder Bluffield turned his head like a cornered rat.
Oh, we'll leave you alone. Won't do anything. Help you. Carry a shift for you.
Shut your mouth. Now, on second thought, you can open your mouth a little wider and lay your left hand on the blanket there.
Why? What are you... Oh, no.
Pick up the razor, lady, and do like the Elder tells you. Come on, Reverend. You tell her what to do.
No, no! I beg you to...
Ryan rammed the muzzle of the automatic between his lips. Blood coursed from his upper lip where the silencer tore the flesh, and two of his front teeth were snapped off at gum level.
Pick up the razor. Two of you men come across and hold the Elder's hand real still. I don't want any mistakes here.
Nobody moved. Ryan moved his wrist slightly, making Bluffield's head wobble up and down, his eyes whiter than silver dollars.
I pull this trigger, and it'll take an hour just to scrape his brains off the ceiling.
Ryan glanced over his shoulder at Kate. She simply shrugged and said nothing. Two of the older men came and reluctantly held the trembling hand, pinning it down to the bunk. As Elder Bluffield tried and failed to speak, a wide streak of blood stained the immaculate white of his beard. The girl picked up the razor and stared at it with a hypnotized fascination. Ryan smiled at her, making her even more terrified.
Don't worry, sister. It'll soon be done. Show this sick-hearted bastard just what it feels like to make a small sacrifice. Cut deep and firm, just along the line of the knuckle there.
Ryan pointed with his left hand.
Make sure you get in close to the joint. You'll have a real hard job trying to hack through bone with that razor.
I can't do that.
Sure you can. Elder Bluffield truly wants you to cut off three of the fingers from his left hand. Don't you, Reverend? Just nod, or I'll blow the whole top of your head away.
The white head nodded slowly. Ryan smiled again.
There you go, sister.
Bluffield passed out before she was even halfway through the second finger. Ryan lay back on his bunk and watched the women as they gathered around their stricken leader, tearing up blankets and their own clothes to try to staunch the flow of blood and bandage his mutilated hand. Kate was sleeping on the bunk below Ryan, one arm thrown across her face, as though she were trying to blank out the memory of what she'd seen. Bluffield had recovered consciousness, biting on a wad of cloth to stifle his own moans. He ignored the efforts of his apostles to help him, keeping his narrow amber eyes fixed on the man who had caused him the suffering. Ryan stared back, expressionless, his blaster, still drawn and ready in his right hand. The Elder suddenly snatched at the arm of one of his women and pulled her head down so that he could whisper something to her. She listened, then nodded, tiptoeing across to Ryan's bunk.